Every battle that you fight, every valley that you have to go through, every time that you feel you can't go any farther, you press on. Apostle Paul said, having done all to stand, stand therefore. I've had to do that many times. Done everything I feel I know to do. And by faith, how do you stand? Just stand by faith. Sometimes it's you don't feel like standing. Sometimes you feel like doing everything else but that. But you stand by faith. Hallelujah. In the things of God. If God spoke it, you can take it to the bank. It'll come to pass, won't it? It'll come to pass. Going to continue tonight. I believe this is message number 15 on this series. I have victory over. You have to fill in the blanks where you have victory in. And thought I'd be done with this weekend, but I'm not going to be. Won't be next weekend, and I can't guarantee anything then. It's kind of like Ezekiel's river. The further it flown, the greater it grown. And that's kind of the way this is. The further it goes, now if it can keep me excited and sometimes keep me awake, if it can do that for me, it surely ought to excite you for an hour. I'm going to try to preach 30 minutes. Somebody said, you've been saying that for years and you hadn't got it done. I may set the record tonight. I may not, but I might. Hallelujah. We're changing tonight. We read this morning, chapter 8, verse 1 and 2. Then we went over in chapter 8, verse number 10 through verse number 13. And I felt like dealing more with that. And victory over the valleys. And sometimes the greatest battle ever fought in our lives will be in a valley. We usually don't fight battles when we're on the mountain. We fight battles when we're in the valley. I want to preach a little while. We mentioned it a week ago. Never have got to it till now. In this, victory over the spoil. And I brought out how that in chapter 6, when they came into the battle of Jericho, the Lord God spoke to Joshua and stated, the spoil is accursed. Certain things was brought into the treasuries of God. Everything else was destroyed, but no one was to take of that. That brought a separation. God said, I'll not go before you. I'll not fight the battle anymore until you destroy that you brought in that I said not to take of to start with. We must tonight, church, have victory over the spoil. God knows the things that we're to bring in, the things we're not to bring in. And you know how that we brought out already how Achan, when he brought it in, he didn't wear the Babylonian garment. He didn't come in waving that shekel of gold or wedge of gold or the shekels of silver. He didn't do that at all. It was hid among his stuff, but God saw it. You see, God can see things that others can't see. I can't see but the natural unless God reveals. Sometimes he does. But God sees everything. The all-seeing eye, nothing's hid. He reads the very intent, the Bible says, of the heart. He captures the very thought before you think it. He knows all about it. In fact, I believe God knows what you're going to do tomorrow if there is a tomorrow. God knows that. He knew before Christ was ever born. Sister Pam, Brother Nathan, God knew this is the way it would have to be eventually. I'm going to have to give my son for the ransom of sin. I'm going to have to give my son that man can be bought back. God knew that. God looked down in time and he knew that. And I believe, folks, he knows what a day holds for you and I. We don't know what the day holds, but thanks be unto God, we know who holds that day in his hands, don't we? All right. I'm going to read to you a definition as you're getting ready to stand. Spoil, the Webster defines, to be goods taken by force in war. Yeah. Sounds logical, doesn't it? God said, you're to spoil the city. It's not to be brought into your treasury. It's to be brought into the treasury of God. You're not to take of it. At Jericho, now here we are at the battle of Ai. Already been one attempt without God. Failed. Now the attempt's been made. Somebody's spending time in prayer, Brother Arliss. And the Bible says in the midst of the valley. There's a reason that the Lord stated in Joshua 8 and 11, there's a valley between them and victory. Them and Ai, that's victory. God said, I'll give you victory, but there's a valley between you and them. Well, Joshua spent that night in the very midst of that valley in prayer to God. God given him direction, total direction. Here's how it must be. You know the story, how they go up just as they did before, act like they're being beaten. They begin to retreat in that battle and hear the enemy. I'll tell you, the enemy isn't very smart. Believe it or not, he isn't very smart. He begins to pursue them, and they had 30,000 men lying in wait on the north side of Ai, on the west side of Ai. And Joshua said, God spoke to him, said, when the Joshua's spear is put out, that's the signal for you to take the city. What he stated here in verse number 1, let me read it to you and you can be seated. Verse number 1 and verse number 2, preaching mainly from verse number 2 of Joshua chapter 8. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee, and arise and go up to Ai. See, I have given into thy hand the king of Ai and his people and his city and his land. Verse number 2. And thou shalt do to Ai and her king as thou didst unto Jericho and her king. But here the picture changes. Only the spoil thereof and the cattle thereof shall ye take for prey unto yourselves. Lay thee an ambushment for the city behind it. You can be seated. Going to preach a little while tonight. Victory over the spoil. You see, church, we have to recognize God's voice. He said, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they'll not follow. I read to you what the Webster Dictionary defines spoil to be. It's goods that are taken in a battle or in war. It's taken from an enemy, and it's goods that will be beneficial to you if God's in that. Brother Arliss, as we stated earlier, God stated when God says it, folks, it doesn't make any difference what man might say. God's not going to change his word for anybody. His word's forever settled in heaven. I heard a man say one time that had went to church and said he'd repented of his sins. I don't doubt that he didn't repent of his sins, but he didn't really fall in love with Jesus. You see, repent simply to turn. There's a lot of folks turn. They get victory over a sin in their life, but they can't keep the victory. It's one thing to get that victory, but it's another thing to keep the victory. Brother Cotton, we'll have to fight that enemy every day of our life. And listen, folks, if we don't spoil the enemy and get the goods that he has robbed, I believe the enemy has all kinds of goods that belongs to the church. He's robbed the church. If you begin to look, how did David, the Philistines had come at Ziklag, Brother Arliss, and they'd taken Ziklag, and David and his men came back, and Ziklag had been burnt to the ground. This is a type of the devil, the thief that come but to kill, to steal and destroy, and he'd taken their wives and their children and burnt everything else that they had. And the Bible states that the men weep for the bread till there was no more spirit in them to weep. What did David do? Here his own man spake of stoning him. I can tell you, folks, it's not bad enough that the ministers, that the men of God, the women of God, has to fight every demon in hell. But many times they have to fight spiritually their brethren because they see a conflict. They're wanting to fight in the carnal, and the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of stronghold. David begins to pursue and ask God what to do. Here's what the man, the man that loved David, looked at David and said, "We're going to stone you, boy." They spake of killing David. Why? Because they're in a dilemma. They're in a valley. The enemies come and spoil their house. You don't think for a moment those Philistines wasn't having themselves a time. All I can say is, devil, you better enjoy what you're doing right now, because there's coming a time you're going to be under the foot of the one that's your enemy. You're going to be a defeated pole. David's asking God direction, and he began to sincerely thank God. Shall we pursue? Shall we go after him? And the Lord said, "Go, and without fail, you'll recover all." I believe it's time we go and spoil the enemy's house. Take back. The kids sang that little old song. I went to the enemy's camp, and I took back what he stole from me. Took back what he stole from me. I took back what he stole from me. Well, I went to the enemy's camp, and I took back what he stole from me. Then when they say under his feet, he's under my feet. Under my feet. Somebody said, isn't that silly? It is if you ain't got him under your feet. I can tell you that. And it'll cost you something if you get that enemy under your foot. I'm preaching tonight victory over the spoil. Now here in the battle of Jericho, I tell you, friend, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life that John said, it is not of the Father but of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abide forever. Listen, as Achan, I'm not blaming Achan for what he done. Leodi's done the same thing. Oh, we can look at the little woman taken in the act of adultery. Be real easy to condemn. But with the master of everything that knows everything, ask us. When he says he's without sin, let him cast the first stone. The Bible said every one of them began to go away. They was quick to condemn her, but every one of them began to fade out of the picture. Why? They was convicted in their hearts from the least to the greatest, knowing that every one of them had faults. Every one of them had sins. We are not without sin, church. Thank God that we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. When we do sin, John said, sin not, but I thank God, he said, but if you do, he knew that we have a sinful nature. I can tell you, Achan had that lust of the flesh. He knew what the commandment was, not to take the spoil. Folks, we got to keep the victory over that which we know to be the words of God. I have the victory over the spoil. Achan caused the whole camp of Israel to be troubled and lose a battle. But now, here they are, the second go around in the battle of Ai. By the way, did you know Bethel's fighting in this battle? I never really pictured this. I've never heard it. But I'll read it to you if I don't get to it tonight. Read on down through. I believe it's about verse number 17 or 18. And it says that there was not a man left when they were coming into the camp, when the sword of Gideon, or the sword of Joshua rather, is put out. Says there's not a man left in Ai, neither in Bethel. By the way, Bethel's the next door neighbor. They're between Bethel and Ai. So they just call. I can tell you, when the enemy gets on your trail, he don't care to call in as many big dogs as he can. He'll get every imp, every demon, every spirit out of hell to get on your trail that he can. But I'm telling you, if God be for us, who can be against us? That enemy couldn't do anything in the presence of the Almighty God but fall down in defeat. And I can see here, Brother Arliss, he said to him in verse number 1. Let me back up to it. I didn't get on it much this morning. Before we go to verse number 2, God had said to him, "I dealt with, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed." I can tell you, folks, when he went on to say, "The Lord's given into thy hand the king, all this people, and this place, and the land," he'd given them everything there. in verse number 2. That isn't enough right there, Brother Fred, for folks to get the victory over. But I can tell you, all night in prayer meeting, the next morning, when God had given him the strategy, how this battle's to be arrayed, how that it's to go. There ain't many times you see God telling you to run and flee from the enemy. But in this particular setting, God said you are to flee. And then in that battle, you know the reason God stated this? He knew that then 36 men died. Didn't state it, said on down in mid chapter of 8, 12,000 men and women of Ai died. Does not state a one of the children of Israel. When they got between the mighty men of valor, here's 5,000 with Joshua. He's running out. They're running behind. They say, whoo, we got them on the run. Isn't that the way we ought to do the devil? We sang the little old song the kids sang. We got the devil on the run. Yeah, we got the devil on the run. But I tell you what the devil's doing to most of the church today. He's sitting somewhere in an old dark dungeon of a hole that's cold and damp and woolly and yucky feeling. And he's singing, we got the church on the run. Yeah, we got the church on the run. But if we could just pray in that valley, wherever it may be, as Joshua did, and get God on our side, and get directions from God. And God says, when that enemy pursues, I've got on the cattle on a thousand hills. We can be as Gehazi, Elijah's servant. When he opened the eyes, God opened the eyes of his servant. He looked into the mountains. He saw a mighty army of chariots of fire and horses round about that's on his side. It's the army of God, sir. And if we pray enough, I believe God will show the church the army of the living God today. Now I can see the devil's run us so long. The Lord says, in the battle before, the devil seen us flee, and the hearts of the children of Israel fainted. The Bible says, smelled and ran as water. There's no strength left in them because they knew God's not fighting this battle. I want to tell you something, folks. If I go through the battle of the shadow of death as David did, I want to know God's fighting that battle. If I go through a battle of a sickness or dilemma, a family crisis, church crisis, job crisis, whatever it may be, I want to know that God, if it's a son and father crisis, mother, daughter crisis, in-law, outlaw, whatever, I want to know that God is on my side. It'll make all the difference in the world. And I can see here, never, Brother Arliss, had I seen that God's telling them to flee from their enemy. But here he said, when the pursuers come, I want you to, this is the strategy. I can tell you, folks, God knows what he's doing. They remembered you fleeing before after they killed 36 of the young men. Mama's crying, children crying from their father's not there. Israel's weeping, Joshua's falling on his face, and the tribe of Judah taken as God begins to reveal where the sin, where the problems come in. And the Lord stated plainly to Joshua, I'll not go with you. I'll not go before you until you destroy the cursed thing. Folks, we got to have victory over the spoil. There's things in this world. Listen, there's some smooth willies out there. There's some folks that are influential. There's some educated religious people that will tell you that it doesn't matter. Let me get back to the story I started to get into 20 minutes ago. There's a man told me one time he prayed through at an altar, and he said, he said, I accepted the Lord in my life. I knew myself, he's living with a woman. The man never did deny. Now let's get real for a moment. I'm a grown man. I think like a grown man. And two grown people don't live in the same house without something going on. Now, if you can believe that, you got great problems. Number one, if the Lord saved me, He's not going to have me in that situation. If I've got power over my body, which I don't, if I don't flee the youthful lust and the temptations, you hear this, old preacher, I'm just telling it as it is, as the old timer said. But he said to me, he said, well, he said, I just don't believe it's wrong. Well, I talked to her and she said, we ain't doing nothing. He said, it ain't wrong. She said, we ain't doing nothing. One of them's a lying. Both of them probably lying. Well, I know he knew better. He knew it was wrong. He said, well, I don't feel like it's wrong. He said, I talked to the Lord and the Lord told me it was all right. Listen to this. Another religious. I'm going to call him a religious nut. Somebody says, I may be a nut, but I'm screwed on the right bolt. Diane knows who I'm talking about. I'm telling you, he's far-fetched. Far-fetched. And he done his own ceremony. He married a woman by jumping over a broom. That sounds like witchcraft to me. Nowhere in the Bible does the Lord state that a man's to take his bride and jump over the broom or the moon. Neither one. He doesn't say that. He said they're going to, that therefore they leave their father and mother, cleave to their wife, and they two became one flesh. And them vows are sacred before God. But he I asked, he said, well, he got married. I said, well, if he'd told me, I'd have went to the wedding. He said, oh, I done my own ceremony. He said, we jumped over a broom, said a few rituals, few words. Guess what? That marriage didn't work. It wasn't long till that woman hated his guts and wanted, and I tell you, she finally woke up and come to her senses. She hated his guts and wanted out of that. Thank God. Thank God God's still a deliverer today. But friend, I can tell you, we can think what we want to think. But what the Word of God said is forever settled in heaven. And this man, he's trying to convince me. He said, I prayed about it and God said to me, it's all right. I said, listen. You didn't get the answer from the God I serve. I took him to what the book says. I took him to the Word of God, the uncompromised Word of God. This old King James book that everybody dreads and shivers at the word, the old King James authorized. I mean, they fear that book. Why? Because there's power there. There's word there to reprove, to rebuke, and to exhort with all long-suffering of doctrine. I can tell you, friend, when this man stated, and it wasn't but a little while, said he's called to preach. Preached one message for as I know and lived like the devil the rest of his life. And he's miserable as miserable can be. And I thought, friends, as sure as we're here today, the Bible states the ways of a transgressor's heart. It's not the ways of those that are obedient to the Word of God, but it's the ways of the transgressor is hard. We begin to look at this. The Lord began to proclaim to Joshua. The picture's turned around. Here's the reason. You want the blessings of the Lord. David said, Psalms 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Why? Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff comforteth me. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of my enemy. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Listen to this. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Listen. Folks, there's something about this. The goodness and mercy, David said, follows after we do the will, the commandments of God. I can see here, they've done the will of God. They couldn't get the victory. You'll never get the victory with sin in your life. It doesn't take a big sin to destroy relationship with God. It wasn't the big battle Jericho. It's the battle Ai where they're defeated. But it started when somebody failed to heed every word of God. We can take what we don't like out, but I'm telling you, it's just like Jehoiakim when he sat in Jeremiah and wrote a roll and sent it by Beirut, the eunuch, and the Bible says he cut it with his penknife. It made him angry and throwed it in the hearth. The fire consumed it, but God said to Jeremiah, write the same words, and many more were added. I can tell you, you'll never do away with the Word of God. You'll never do away with the Word of God. whether we hearken or whether we turn a deaf ear, the word of God is forever settled in heaven. How to have victory over the spoil is to hearken unto the words of God. How victory over self. Listen, Brother Arliss hit the nail on the head a little while ago. If we don't pray, somebody said one time, 7 days without prayer makes 1 week. You get that? 7 days is a week. 7 days without prayer makes 1 week, but it also makes 1 week. If you go without prayer, I've seen it, you've seen it happen. I can tell you this, all the signs and the miracles, the sanctification that set in each one's life before they come over the Jordan. Every one of you hear this and hear it well this evening. We can have victory on a Sunday morning, lose it before the Sunday evening service. I've had it happen many times. Brother Jim, why does that happen? There's a real enemy out there. And he's not playing games. He's fighting for real. He knows there's goods in the life of every born-again believer. And guess what he wants to do? He wants to rob you of those. He's in warfare with you. And the spoil means he's trying to take the spoil from the church. That means in warfare, that enemy's trying to take the good. We're fighting a common enemy. It's not the neighboring church down the road. I'm not trying to fight a neighboring church and get their sheep. If I did, I'd get every gold he had. I'd have more problems than I could handle. You don't steal sheep, I can tell you that. It's goats you wind up with every time. Whew. I knew you'd like that. It's goats you wind up with. And sometimes it's hard for us to tell the difference. A lot of kids will see one in the field. Now, I know the difference between a sheep and a goat. But you know what the Bible says? Now, a wolf and a goat, it's really easy to tell the difference. But the Bible says that the wolves will come in sheep clothing. Now, if there's a wolf out in the field dressed like a sheep, it'd be hard for me to tell. Well, I'll just get to that later. We're trying to preach on victory over the spoil, not victory over the wolf and the goats. Sometimes the enticements. Have you ever had a battle? I know you have. We'll not go into any details. Don't want anybody. I'm not Catholic. You don't have to come confess to me. In fact, some things better never told to anybody but God. We've had it said here at White Oak a few times, we need to just have an open confession. I said, oh, dear God in heaven, you want to split a church wide open? There ain't one of you here, but they ain't had some bad thoughts about one sitting across the aisle. And if you have an open confession and say, and some don't have no more sense than to tell things like this. Now, God understands it, but he's the only one that can look beyond your ignorance. And my ignorance. Now, when I say you, I'm saying me too. Sister Joanne, Brother Larry, God's the only one that can look beyond the mentality of Leo Dye and still love me. Hey, some things I can't even tell Diane. But if we're going to have victory over the spoil, folks, we've got to have a prayer life. We've got to have a prayer life. Every day, it's just like the elements. We had a pretty good rain. Brother Guy will be a week tomorrow. It rained an inch and 4/10 down on the Mount Hersey Ridge. A week ago today, or 2 weeks ago today and tomorrow, it rained an inch and 7/10 down on the Mount Hersey Ridge. But I can tell you, you can't find much evidence of it today. You go down there and kick the ground anywhere you want, and it's just powdery dust, and the trees are starting to turn a little. The corn's needing water. The garden, the tomatoes needing water. What are you saying? There's an element out there, and it's called the heat, the sun, the environment, the wind, of the humidity that comes and it begins to suck out that 2 inches of rain nearly 2 weeks ago, and that inch and 4/10 last Monday, it just almost don't even look like it was there. What are you saying, preacher? We can get a blessing from God on a Sunday, and then we can have our cup running over. And I'm telling you, there's an environment out there, and it's called the enemy of your soul, and he's doing everything in his power to sap you of the things that God God has placed in your vessel. I can tell you what he'll do. If he can, he'll bring every one of you down to total defeat. We got to pray. If there was ever a time we need to pray, it's right now. It's today. Prayer. Prayer is the greatest weapon given to the church. The spoil. They knew in the second. Now, I don't tell you, folks, this, you talk about glorious. All the way through this, we talked about, if you, don't you know that if Joshua and the elders of Israel were fearing and dismayed, or discouraged, if you will, don't you know that those 30,000 men that he said, you go to the north side, you go to the west side of Ai, and we're going to pull them out of there. Don't you know they's fearing? Don't you know they were dismayed or discouraged? Yeah, we done been there once, boy. Some of them had. Only 3,000 of them. 36 of them didn't make it back. We've been there when our hearts melted and ran as water. But I can tell you, when everything was carried out in prayer and directions from God's word, not one jot, one tittle will pass, but all will be fulfilled. And the Lord said to Joshua, when you get to a certain place, I'm going to speak to you. And it says that not only Ai, but there was not a man left in Ai, neither in Bethel, that they pursued after them. And when they got where God knew they needed to be, in between the armies, that God spoke to Joshua, he held out that spear. That's a signal. And the man that were hid in ambushment, the Bible says, went in that city, besieged it, and they set it on fire. And the men of Ai and of Bethel looked back and saw the smoke. There hadn't been no battle yet. They're still chasing the enemy. They looked back and saw the smoke of the city. And the Bible says that there was no strength left in them. God says, I'm going to fight this battle for you. Somebody talks about Satan being as a roaring lion, going about, Peter stated it, seeking whom he may devour. But somebody stated that the Lord on Calvary, when Jesus was on Calvary, he pulled that lion's teeth. He can roar, but he can't bite. That's exactly where the man of Ai and the man of Bethel were. They're in between Joshua and his 5,000 men and 30,000 that's burning that city. And they knew our wives and our children are being slaughtered. They knew that the spoil, that no doubt a lot of it had been taken from someone else. And now they knew they're losing all of that. I can tell you, no wonder they were in a hopeless place. No strength left in them. I can tell you, folks, we've got to have victory over the spoil.
Yes, we do, brother. Come on.
Let me read you a scripture. We're going to change over just a little bit in this. Joshua will be preaching Wednesday night, next Sunday, probably on Sunday night. We're going to deal with the latter part of chapter 8. And then, far as I know, unless the Lord goes another direction, we're going to conclude this. Go to something else. I want to take you to the book of Colossians for just a moment. To the book of Colossians. I want to read you a few verses of scripture. Colossians chapter 2. I want to read verse number. Well, I'd like to back up and read a whole lot, but I won't, for time's sake. I'll just read. I'll begin verse number 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceits, after the tradition of man, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and we are complete in him, which is the head of all principalities and powers. For just a moment, I want to stop there and I want to clue you in here at what Apostle Paul's stating. Do you know that there's a lot of folks come carrying a book that they say is the Bible. And in that book, they'll begin to talk to you and they'll begin to spoil your house, your home, your thought life.
Right.
I had a brother, still have a brother, but he and his wife had got saved. As far as I know, his wife had never known anything about the Lord. As far as I know, got saved. And I believe that the Lord gloriously delivered and saved him. Brother Donnie Chisholm and I believe we broke ice several feet out in the Buffalo River to baptize them in January, I believe it was. It's spitting snow big as a nickel, Brother Arliss. Or not spitting snow, that's real stuff. It's snowing big as a nickel. Ain't no snow much on the ground, but they'd been ice out for several feet. We broke ice out to baptize them. And that day it's trying to snow, big old snowflakes floating down, you know. And they sincere. And it wasn't long after that, maybe a year or so, that some Jehovah Witnesses come by, begin to talk to my sister-in-law and my brother-in-law. And I usually don't call names, but I can tell you, the Jehovah Witness is not my brother and sister. I don't talk about churches. I don't talk about Baptist Church of Christ. I don't talk about churches. But Jehovah's Witness is an occult. I can tell you, I've talked to them enough. They're an occult. The ones that I know that's in it, they still believe that everything of the world's all right. And hell is cast into the lake of fire. If there's no dread of you going to hell, sir, death ain't that bad, I don't think. It'd just be going to sleep. That's what the Lord said. Happened to Lazarus, he sleepeth. But I can tell you what the consequences of death is. I can tell you what the consequences of sin is. We don't have to die the second death. But these Jehovah Witnesses come by after a period of weeks. And she invited them in, let them begin to talk. And they finally told her, she was convinced, it's easier, by the way. You can live however you want to live. You can do pretty much however you want to do. And it's easier. And they pretty much convinced her of that. And it wasn't but a little while, they finally told her, in the Jehovah Witness belief, if your spouse is unbelieving, you've got to shun them. You've got to get rid of them. Stay away from them. And if you can't win them, you've got a certain amount of time to win them. You can't win them, get away from them. They divorced, had two children, and divorced. And now, I can tell you, life's miserable. Life's miserable. What are you saying? What Apostle Paul said here, you better beware of those that come to spoil you. In vain, when they come speaking, Paul said in verse number 8, spoil man through philosophy, and vain deceits. Things that sound good, and there isn't a price to pay. Somebody says, well, it don't cost you nothing to get. Yes, it does cost you everything. You can't buy it with money, but I can tell you it'll cost you everything you have to make heaven. How you say that, Brother Di? Jesus said, except you deny father, mother, sister, brother, and your own life, take up your cross and follow me, you cannot. That sounds about as positive as anything you'll ever hear. Not saying for you to do away with mom, dad, brother, sisters, husband, wife, but you got to love God more than anything else. You can't put nothing. You can't put nothing before the Lord, and it you got to deny self. Now, that in itself is a conflict. It's a warfare. A lot of things I can deny, but myself now, I kind of like to take care of myself.
Yeah.
When self's hungry, I hear something inside go. It's them large intestines telling the small intestines, if you don't feed me, I'm going to start eating you. And you're so hungry, you know something's got to happen. You got to do something soon. And I don't like denying myself. And sure, as we vow to the Lord, we're going to fast. Somebody come by and want to buy us dinner. It's hard to fast when you get offered a free meal.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's going to cost you $10, you might do without it. But somebody else offered to pay for it. But it's hard for us to deny self.
Yeah.
But that's what Jesus said.
Yeah.
We got to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Jesus. Let me read on a little bit here. Trying to hurry. I'm almost going to use my 30 minutes if I don't hurry. Where'd I get to? Verse number 10. And you are complete in Him, which is the head of all principalities and powers, in whom also we are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Only way you can do it. Let me just skip down to verse number 14. Going to take me a while if I don't. This talking about Christ blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, against Leo Dye, against you, brother and sister, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having, verse number 15, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. What are you saying? Jesus went right down there in the heart of the earth, in the pit of hell, if you will. The Bible says he was 3 days in hell, and he made a show of it openly. He took the keys of death, hell, and the grave, come forth victorious over that, gave you and I. He spoiled. What are you saying? He went right into the enemy's camp. He took everything, and he brought captivity, captivity. He brought them out. Those brother Arliss that had been in prison, he brought them out, that died under the law. He preached to them in hell and brought them out. Thank God he spoiled powers and principalities. Victory over the spoil. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, I'm trying to come to a close. Matthew chapter 12, verse number 29, I believe it is. And in this, isn't it ironic how that the deadhead church, the religious group, is always trying to find fault, an occasion wherewith to do away with the power of Jesus. Jesus healed a deaf and dumb, the Bible says, in both he heard and spake. It made the church mad. They couldn't do it. It made them mad. As we stated this morning, David's brother Eliab, he got mad because David's willing to do what they should be doing. But they had no ambition in them. They had no strength in them. The enemy done spoiled what they had and took in war. I can tell you, folks, in this, here rose up the religious group, the deadhead Pharisee church of the scribes, if you will, and said, I can tell you how he done that. He cast that devil out by powers of devil. Jesus said, a kingdom divided can't stand. If I cast out devils by Beelzebub, it ain't going to stand. And it went on to say, neither can a man enter into a strong man's house, in verse number 29, and spoil his goods, except he be stronger than he. He must first bind that strong man. And then, when he binds that strong man, Brother Kelly, he can spoil his goods. I can tell you today, dear friend, that the enemy of our soul has come in, and he's got the victory over many so-called Christians. He's spoiled their house. He's bound them up. I can tell you who can break the chains and the fetters and set us free. His name is Jesus. It's not a church denomination. It's not my brother or my sister, but Jesus can do that. And I thought here when he said he's first got to bind that strong man and then he spoils his house. I believe many churches are bound. Many churches are sitting in prison in their own building and letting the enemy of their soul intrude and spoil everything they have. Then he begins to move his own stuff in. Therefore, You got to start having praise and worship with rock teams. I tell you, I went to churches that made me blush, and I'm a grown man. We went to this benefit, and boy, whoo, howdy. I told Diane, I said, I was embarrassed for folks to see me, some of them. I seen some there that didn't have on, Brother John Hagee said, it used to take a bale of cotton to make a woman's wardrobe, and said, now a silkworm can do it on his lunch break. Now, I tell you, that lady's part of that group. She had on a strap around here and one right down through here. Tarzan wears more clothes than that woman wore. And he's raised by the monkeys in the jungle. He don't know no better. And I'll guarantee you, she may have been raised by hillbillies, but she ought to know more than Tarzan knows. I didn't see nobody yelling, swinging on a grapevine, but embarrassed. I'm standing there talking to a man, and she comes by, and guess who she wants to talk to? The very man that I'm talking to. And I thought, of course, he knows I'm a preacher, and he's embarrassed. He turned red. Of course, he wouldn't have turned red if I wasn't there, I don't think. But he turned red. So directly, I just turned around. I just turned around, tried to talk to somebody else. Is that what you should do? Yes, it is. The kid sang that song. Is that what you've always done? No, it ain't. That's what got Achan in trouble. That's what gets our house spoiled. Kid sang that song. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. There's a Father up above looking down in tender love. So be careful, little eyes, what you see. I believe it's very important that we guard our senses. If we don't guard our senses, folks, the first thing you know, we believe a lie. Be damned. What we just read to you in Colossians. Here come some of them slick willies. They'll start spoiling your house through philosophy, vain deceits. Brother Arliss, that's almost too big a word for me to comprehend. Philosophy, as far as I know, is just a speech of good way of saying something. Is that correct or not correct? Is it not right? Okay, that's human interpretation or terminology. But hillbilly terminology is our way of saying it. You know, we usually say it the way we live. But however it is, it's through vain deceit. And they begin to tell you that it doesn't matter, but I'm going to tell you it does matter. It doesn't matter if we don't want the victory, but if we want the victory, Brother Arliss, it does matter. It does matter. Are we going to keep the victory over the spoil? Or are we going to let the enemy have the victory and spoil us? And spoil us. We're going to be preaching in the latter part of chapter 8. Next weekend, Lord be our helper. I'm changing gears. I'm going a different direction. And as far as I know some of you are saying, preacher, you've been saying this for a month. As far as I know, if the Lord don't give me something else to go on this, I'll be concluding this, be the end of it next week. And if you... As far as I know, we're going to get these copied. Somebody's putting them on, I think, United States wide, and I think they said in 4 different countries or maybe 8 different countries. They may arrest me for preaching like this. I don't know. I told them, I said, it don't bother me if you put it on there if you don't. Highways and Hedges Ministry. Highwaysandhedges.com, whatever. And if you might find it, and it being a foreign language, somebody might interpretate, be an interpreter and get it in a foreign language. I don't know. But I'm going to give them this series to put on this ministry. Folks, I am stirred as I've never been stirred, Brother Fred.
Yeah, we need to be, brother. Yes.
And Listen, we've got real devils to fight. And when they're fighting to spoil your house. The enemy of your soul can never do it till he first finds you. I've made this statement, I feel so bound up. Bad, bad, bad place to be. Don't ever get to a place, folks, we feel bound up. You know, if we'll pray and seek the face of God, it may not come when we feel like it ought to. David said, weeping may endure for a night, but joy's coming in the morning. You know the reason a lot of us today is not willing to press on, persevere in this? It cost us something. We give up before the devil does. Used to be we wear the devil out, and the devil wears us out now. Used to, we'd stay till midnight past, and at midnight you'd still hear some old grandma going, mama, 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 whoa. And now at midnight we're at home going, somebody's in desperate need, but the enemies wore us out, and we're not seeing the victory that we one time saw. Are you guilty, preacher? I've been guilty, but I can tell you, folks, God's stirring me and waking me up to see a difference. I don't believe it's going to be long. He's coming. He's coming. Somebody come get us a song. Brother Arliss or whoever feels like come getting us a song. We're going to open these altars for just a little while. One of you boys get me, Isaac, get me some water. My throat's awful dry. Do appreciate you being here tonight.